Yo, DJ L Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And yo, today I'm going to speak very measuredly. And I debated trying to bring this up or not, but I'm going to talk about the Chad Wheeler incident in general. It's, in my opinion, being positioned wrong. And I think we're missing, like, some of the major issues with this. If you don't know, the Seahawk lineman, Chad Wheeler, was arrested last week on domestic violence charges because he beat up his girlfriend. And taken from the CNN story, former Seattle Seahawks player Chad Wheeler pled not guilty Monday to charges of domestic violence and resisting arrest on January's incident with his girlfriend. A spokesman for Washington prosecutor said, Wheeler, an offensive lineman, is charged with two felonies, first-degree domestic violent assault and domestic violence with unlawful imprisonment, as well as a misdemeanor resisting arrest. According to court documents, prosecutors said Wheeler viciously attacked the victim in her bedroom, strangling her at times with both hands. Wheeler is also accused of strangling the victim twice until she lost consciousness. Totally horrendous acts from a football player, allegedly. And I have to say allegedly because everybody should be afforded due process in the court of law. However, damn it, this ain't the court of law. This is the court of public opinion. And this guy's a bastard. If half of the stuff he's accused of doing is true, this guy's a fascist asshole. He needs to be under the jail. That's it. Cut and dry. It really ain't much to talk about. I know somebody probably gonna hit me with the, well, you know, maybe she attacked him first. I don't give a damn, bruh. Could care less. We work under the assumption that men are stronger than women. That's a measure of privilege we have. And with that comes a responsibility that we can't be out here hitting women. Now, you can make an argument to me that, yo, sometimes you might have to restrain a woman. You know, she's going crazy, you got to restrain. That happens in the club all the damn time. I see security guards restraining women all the time. So, yeah, you probably can convince me in certain situations that, yo, I might have to restrain a woman. But restraining a woman and just beating her ass are two different things. And if you look at this report, he just whooped this woman's ass, bro. It wasn't no restraining. He didn't, like, set on. This is a lineman. Under any metrics, dude is stronger than almost any woman out there. He could have just sat on her chest and be like, yo, calm down. And you can make an argument, maybe that's too much too, but that's restraining. Choking somebody with two hands? That ain't restraining, man. That's abuse. That's like trying to kill somebody, attempted murder, bro. Like, choking is personal. You do that like when you have personal animus, dude, like choking somebody. And like I said, we have to say allegedly because we don't know. However, man, if you're saying that he didn't do anything, you must think I'm an idiot. Because common sense is telling me, like reading this CNN report, the victim called Wheeler's father, told him to call 911. She called her family, told him to call 911. She called the police. The police came in there, tried to restrain dude. They had to tase dude. Dude still wasn't going down, which, I'm not gonna lie, it's amazing dude didn't get shot. I mean, that's a level of privilege that only few have. But they tried to tase dude. He didn't go down. He resisted arrest. All that in collaboration, man, something happened. Something happened. Seriously. After this, Wheeler lost his job with the Seattle Seahawks. it's just a terrible thing, dude. And I don't know, like, how anybody can justify what happened with this. Now, one thing I left out intentionally to this point. Chad Wheeler is white and his girlfriend is black. And I left that out intentionally because in some corners of the internet, they're trying to make this a race issue. And if you're trying to make this a race issue, you're totally missing the point. This is not a racial problem. Does it have racial elements in it? Yes, of course it does. Because everything in America is based on race. So yes, it's a bunch of racial components in there. If you want to make the argument that, yo, Ray Rice, they came down hard on him. I'm really not hearing it though, because I don't see what you're saying. This guy lost his job. Ray Rice lost his job too. So I don't know what you're saying about that. I really don't see no correlations with that. I've been seeing people say that. Well, yeah, Ray Rice lost his job quicker. Yeah, but dude still lost his job. I also been seeing people like, yo, this shows how the media is not covering when a white man does domestic violence. Like, look, dude, you got to stop using the media as a boogeyman. It can't be the go-to boogeyman. I worked in media. And how media works is, man, first they got to find out about it. All media can't report on all stories all the time. And then you got to ask yourself, why is this a newsworthy story? It's a newsworthy story because an NFL player hit his girlfriend. This shit happens every day, guys. There's millions of Chad Wheelers out here. Millions of them. Allegedly out here lording their power over women. And that's the real issue. So if you're trying to make this a issue about race, you're missing the whole point. This is an issue of men lording their power over women. Women are generally helpless. Now, I gotta say this with a caveat. Maybe she's lying. Maybe. We have to say that. Like, we don't know. Like, the term believe women is always used, but I don't generally believe women. I don't, because women can lie too. Like, just being honest about it, women can lie. But I think we should take every claim from women serious and investigate them. And this is a problem that just is old as time. It's not an NFL problem. It's not a race problem. It's a man problem. Like, seriously, I'm not looking for the NFL to legislate morality. I don't look for any company to legislate morality, but I do expect you to do something once you find out about this, because it does come down bad on your image. That's what it is. And just to make my point, just recently, Marilyn Manson's ex-wife came out about abuse she sustained from Marilyn Manson. These are issues women are facing all the damn time. Let me say something about this. Yo, let me say something about this, because people have been coming down on Ms. Woods about waiting too long to talk about this abuse. And that's totally unfair. Totally unfair. Because we don't account for all the social pressure that abuse victims suffer. Like, it's a lot of different factors. And my friend was like, no, she should have said something in the beginning. I don't want to hear it now. And like, dog, that's mad unfair. And he was like, well, what if one of your friends asked you to rob a bank? Would you say yes or would you say no? And I'm like, dude, that's a terrible argument. Because let's take the same scenario. What if your friend asked you to be the getaway driver and rob a bank, but he said it with an AR-15? Same scenario, different level of pressure. So you gotta take in consideration the social pressure these women are facing. NBC report said Manson was reported to be Woods' abuser is one of the worst kept secrets in the music industry. Woods has repeatedly opened up about the abuse she suffered in her life. Nobody will listen, dude. It's commonplace. Not to mention she was 19 years old and he was like, what, 39 or 36 when they met? And yo, look, man, love come in all shapes and forms, dude. I'm not saying that, like, if you're an older man, you can't fall in love with a 19-year-old. I'm not saying a 19-year-old can't fall in love with an older man. But generally, when older men go after younger women, it's because they can manipulate them. It is. It's because they have, like, a level of experience that most of these younger women don't have, and they can manipulate them and abuse them. Not in all cases, I'm just saying in some cases. For decades, Marilyn Manson abused this woman. Now, allegedly. Let me say allegedly. However, once again, I had a friend that called me about this story, about Marilyn Manson and the Chad Wheeler thing. He was like, yo, it's messed up. These guys are losing their job because of accusations. Like, the court of public opinion is making these guys lose their jobs. Yo, there is a compelling argument to be made that, yo, you shouldn't lose your job for non-job-related incidents that happens. However, man, that is the bed we've made. We've already decided that that is something we are okay with in all aspects of life. So you got to be consistent with your hate. Seriously. Plus, Marilyn Manson has a track record of this, dude. I remember seeing abuse stories about Marilyn Manson like 20 years ago, dog. Like, this is not the guy I'm riding with to try to make a martyr for men's rights. It ain't Marilyn Manson, man. Or Chad Wheeler. Like, get your Jordan Peterson off somewhere else, dog. Don't make these guys martyrs. This is not the ones you want to lay your hat on. It's not. I don't see any reason to defend these guys. Not these guys. Once again, maybe you can give me some exceptions, and it's always exception to everything. Like, I think Brock Osweiler got into an incident where he actually struck a woman when he was trying to get a pizza, but that situation was totally different. Like, he didn't know the woman was behind him. He was trying to protect his family, and he was just getting the woman off of him. Like, yeah, all right, yeah. That's something, but this is not it, dog. In some reports, Chad Wheeler, after strangling his girlfriend, went to eat, sat down and ate. When his girlfriend came to, he was like, oh, I thought you was dead. Yeah, I'm not defending that guy, dog. I'm not. And like I said, if you got a problem with Wheeler losing his job for that, think about all the other people who lose their jobs. Or once again, it's a compelling argument to be made that, yo, you shouldn't be firing folks like this. But what if you a functioning addict, drug addict? You on crack, but you come do your job great every day. And then your company finds out you're doing drugs after giving you a drug test. Should that guy be fired? Because if you say that guy should be fired, then you're a hypocrite. Yeah, man, cold world out here, but that's how we decided this was going to go a long time ago. You can get fired for stuff not related to your job. Cold world, that's what it is. And I'll say it again. If you're looking at this Chad Wheeler incident as a racial issue, you're wrong. If you're looking at this Chad Wheeler or Marilyn Manson issue as a men's advocacy thing where men are getting done wrong and it's not due process, you're wrong. This is a man problem. And we need to do better. Seriously. As a society, as a whole, we need to realize it's a problem and treat our women better. And that's it. Yo, what's up? DJ L Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my podcast, maybe you'll like my music too. I humbly ask that you go listen to my music on Spotify, Apple Music, or other music streaming service providers. Thank you. Yo, was reading this article from Business Insiders, right? And the title was, humans wouldn't be able to control a super intelligent AI, according to new study. Oh, man. Part of the story said, our society is moving increasingly towards the reliance on artificial intelligence. From AI-run interactive job interviews to create music and even memes, AI is already very much a part of our everyday life. And yo, this article had me thinking, dude, that we really trust artificial intelligence way too much. Seriously, we have artificial intelligence actually doing job interviews for us. The whole Spotify algorithm is based on artificial intelligence. I was going to a distributor one time, DistroKid, and I was looking at some of the perks they had, and one of those was a meme creator, and that was AI. Also, they had a playlist suggestion where they listen to all your music and suggest like what songs to put next to it. And it's really mad troubling, guys, because how much are we going to depend on AI and not HI, human intelligence? Like, for real, who's to say artificial intelligence is getting everything right? Like, seriously, you can't base human interaction on algorithms and math. Like, sometimes you got to meet somebody in a job interview to see them intangibles. How do you quantify those intangibles with artificial intelligence, man? Like, I refuse to believe you can base my whole personality and winning charm on an algorithm from artificial intelligence. I just refuse to believe that. You know? Yo, AI makes things mad convenient. I give you that. Like, it does. But, yo, isn't this how every doomsday sci-fi movie starts off? Like, we make something for convenience. Like, what happens when the AI decides that we are obsolete as humans? Seriously, what happens then? It's mad troubling. And I was thinking about Facebook and all the social media platforms when they went up to Congress to talk about, like, how to improve against misinformation and ne'er-do-wells and stuff like that. Their answer was, yeah, we're going to try to make an AI that can catch everything. I'm like, yo, I don't know how I feel about that. Seriously. More AI can't be like the solution to everything. Like, yeah, we just make AI. Oh, yeah, artificial intelligence. That's cool. Isn't that why we made artificial intelligence? Yeah, of course. Our intelligence is not going to be better than intelligence. Okay, I don't know. All right, so this is what I'm saying. I'm getting tongue-tied, but what I'm saying is, when are we going to raise the base level of human intelligence? You know what I'm saying? Like, artificial intelligence is cool, but the problem is now, while we're making artificial intelligence, it seems that the baseline human intelligence is going down. So you get dumber humans along with this super smart intelligence. So, like, yeah, of course we're going to be tricked. Like, that is just common knowledge. Like, if you look at everybody now who's believing these conspiracy theories and get all their news based off memes, you can totally see how, like, this is going to be an issue for the future. Like, yeah. Like, what if all the artificial intelligence decides, yeah, we're going to trick humans? There's nothing we can do. Seriously, because like all these platforms use AI basically to keep you on the platforms longer, like all of them. Like they even like time when they send you notifications and bling the nice little lights like slot machines to get them dopamine boosts out and keep you on the platform. Yo, that's what's going to happen, man. It's already happening, y'all. Nah. You ain't got to like convince me. It's already happening. We're not smart. Piggybacking off that, man, I read another story. That Elon Musk put a chip in the brain of a monkey, and now the monkey is playing video games in his mind. This is the start of the plot of Planet of the Apes. This is it, dude. Elon Musk putting chips in monkeys' brains, bro. That monkey is Caesar. He gonna take over the world in the next 20 plus years, bro. This is not good. Yo, when did Elon Musk like pivot to this, dog? Like, seriously, when did he pivot to this? Because I thought his whole thing was like trying to get to Mars. And making like Teslas. Like, when is he pivoting to like, yo, putting chips in monkeys' brains? Like, I don't know, like, what's the value add of this? Unless they're planning on putting chips in humans' brains. I'm not gonna lie, it's mad compelling though. Like, seriously. If you had a chance to get a chip in your brain and play video games, would you do it? Me, hell no. Because my whole concern is, yo, who's controlling that chip? Sound like some real deal Manchurian Candidate type shit. Seriously, who's going to control that chip? I have reservations about my computer rig at home being tapped in and the NSA listening to that. Like, you, that's just a common way for anybody to trace you, dude. That's why I'm against, like, microchips and anything, dog. Like, yo, that's just a way you can track me. And I don't feel like being tracked. Like, look, I know right now privacy is an enigma. I mean, it doesn't really exist. But, yo, I'm not trying to make it easier for them to track me. So, you know, I'm not putting a chip in me. Speaking during a Q&A session on the Clubhouse app, Mr. Musk said the startup has moved beyond experiments on pigs and onto monkeys. So they was putting chips in pigs first. Like I say that, pigs are super intelligent. Has super intelligence, yeah. We've already got like a monkey with a wireless implant in their skull and the tiny wires who can play video games using his mind. And he looks totally happy. Like, how are we gauging the monkey's happiness in this? Like, seriously. Like, how are you communicating with this monkey to gauge if he's happy with this? Like, yo, you can't be like, yo, monkey, you good?
Yeah, man, I love these.
Like, seriously, how are we gauging the monkey is happy? It seems mad problematic, man. Like, yo, Peter, where you at? We need you to put a stop to this, man. They're putting chips in monkeys' brains. He said the monkey's happy. He looks happy. Oh. The story goes on to say, you can't even see where the neural implant was put in. He's not uncomfortable, and he doesn't look weird. Says the person who put the chip in the monkey's brain. I don't get like why this is a thing or why like why he's doing this. Like, I don't know. The whole thing sounds kind of nefarious, man. Elon Musk is a genius, but I don't know if I trust any company putting Neuralinks in the brain. Okay, man, you know what? Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Seriously. Because in the article, Elon Musk said that, yo, this could be a way to save the state of your brain, like, and storage all your information. Like, maybe you can pass that on to, like, your grandkids or something like that. And like, can stop Alzheimer's and deterioration of the brain. And that seems like it could be a good thing. Still not trusting this, though. But it just seems like, I don't know. It just seems weird. And this may be my age, but I just look like, yo. Yo, I'm not comfortable with that level of technology just yet. And maybe I might come around. Maybe my grandkids would be comfortable with it. But, yeah. Old man DJ L Spade. Not really comfortable with this. But, hey, man. That is technological advances for you. Kind of hard to put that toothpaste back in the tube. Yo, DJ L Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my Common Knowledge Podcast, yo, think about checking out my music show on YouTube, Tokyo Stash and Spade. Me and my Uncle Stash break down music from all different genres, including punk, rock, and hip-hop. So, yo, if you like this podcast, check me out. It's Tokyo Stash and Spade on YouTube. Tokyo Stash and Spade. Appreciate it. Yo, on a somber note, actor from the legendary 90s sitcom Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond has died at the age of 44 from stage 4 lung cancer. Ah, man. Reports say that Diamond didn't suffer. He didn't have any pain, and he died gracefully, and that's always good. You know, for me, this kind of hit hard. And it's not for any attachment to Dustin Diamond. By all accounts, he was an asshole, a dick, a jerk. From all accounts, like, honestly. From the porn until stabbing the guy in Minnesota in the bar fight, he was just an all-around jerk. But it hit hard for me because dude was only 44 years old. And on some selfish type ish, though, that's only 6 years older than me. Like, I can't see myself dying 6 years from now. So for me, this hit a little hard. Like, yo, I'm at the age now where, yo, people just dying, dropping off. I mean, death at any age is bad. But you can look at death of a 90-year-old differently than the death of a 44-year-old. Like I said, in my upper 30s, man, yeah, 44 is young. Like, relatively. Like, when I was 10, 13 years old, and I saw, like, Pac dying at a young age, I'm like, yo, them adults. Not really, man. Pac and Biggie were babies in the grand scheme of things. So, like, yeah, dying from lung cancer at 44, it just sucks. And it's not good. However, I also don't know, not to be, like, a dick about this, how much emotional capital I'm gonna give to this. And I don't know if this is like a result of like all the death that's been surrounding us in 2020, and it seems to just be leading on in 2021. But yeah, I don't know how emotionally invested I should be in this story. And that's kind of sad to say, you know, because not gonna lie though, like Dustin Diamond wasn't a transcendent talent for me. And I'm not trying to shit on the man when he's down, but I'm just saying, okay, Saved by the Bell, for me, growing up in the 90s, like, Saved by the Bell was really ahead of its time. It was a really super progressive show for its time. Now, you can look at it now and see a lot of problematic stuff, but that's anything in the past, yo. But for the time, that was a super progressive show. It had like a multiracial cast in there. You had Lark Voorhees as the black friend. You only had one, but they didn't make her a super caricature of a hood, ghetto, fabulous black chick. She was like a regular chick in the valley who was smart and like not, for lack of better words, just playing into the negative tropes of stereotype. So you had that. You had... what was dude's name? To play Zach Morris. Mark Paul Gossier, who was Indonesian American, like white and Indonesian. He was the lead. You had Mario Lopez, who was Hispanic in there. Along with Kimberly Berkeley, who played Jesse. And you know, you had a really diverse cast in there for the time. Now you can argue that Dustin Diamond's character, Screech, was kind of problematic in the same sense of Steve Urkel, because like the cool nerds didn't really pop up. Like, we were still treating intelligence like a crutch, not like something that was cool, you know. But if you think about it, like, all the Marvel superheroes are nerds, and that intelligence is cool, but like, we didn't do that in the 90s. Like, oh, look at the geek, the spaz, the nerd. But it was a super progressive show. And you kids gotta realize too, like, back then we didn't have like on demand or 9,000 channels you could choose from, man. So pretty much this is what you watched. This was it. Like, if you're trying to watch like teenage programming, this was pretty much what you had to do. So in that sense, Dustin Diamond is a part of like all of us who like came of age in the 90s life. Like, this is like a major part of our life. This dying. Like, I still feel like people of my age are too young to see our, like, our contemporary peers dying. I just feel like it is. Like, I don't know if I'm looking at this wrong, and I hope I'm not coming off offensive, but it's just jarring. Because, like, yo, we're losing a lot. We lost Kobe. You know, like, Larry King dying, the man was in his upper 80s. So Hank Aaron, same thing, upper 80s. But, like, Dustin, 44, whew. You know? Not good. Saved by the Bell. Classic show. Like, everybody was trying to holler at Locke Voorhees. She was that ish back in the day. Her and Jesse, who later went on to play, what was that movie? Was it Striptease? Yeah. A lot of guys got their rocks off to that movie. But anyway, Dustin Diamond, man, rest in peace. You will forever be immortalized and saved by the Bell. Yo, DJ L. Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my Common Knowledge Podcast, yo, think about checking out my music show on YouTube, Tokyo Stash and Spade. Me and my Uncle Stash break down music from all different genres, including punk, rock, and hip-hop. So, yo, if you like this podcast, check me out. It's Tokyo Stash and Spade on YouTube. Tokyo Stash and Spade. Appreciate it. Yo, LeBron James got in an altercation with a female at the Atlanta Hawks game. And it was mad funny, yo. Super funny. Reading from the Yahoo Finance story. Two spectators in the NBA matchup between the Atlanta Hawks and the LA Lakers were kicked out the stadium for getting into a slanging match with superstar LeBron James. Referees brought the game at Atlanta State Farm Arena to a halt during the fourth quarter after two women who were sitting courtside disrupted the game. The Atlanta Hawks are only a handful of NBA teams that allow a limited number of spectators to attend NBA games. The pair was seated courtside and could be seen not properly wearing masks as required. Footage of the tense exchange went viral on Twitter. However, it wasn't until after the game that one of the women involved took to social media to explain their side of the story. The woman, posted under her name, Julius A. Carlos, on Instagram, said that the group was kicked out after talking shit to James, who she claimed had stared down her husband. LeBron stared down her man. She wasn't having no parts of this. Oh, no, not today, King James. LeBron James looked at my husband during the game and cussed him out, she said. Yo, maybe. Like, seriously, maybe. I'm not going to say LeBron didn't cuss him out. Like, I got to hear some, you know, for it behind this. Like, maybe dude was, like, heckling LeBron all game, and then LeBron had another, like, and just cussed him out. I don't know. Maybe that's true or not. And I stood up, and I go, don't fucking talk to my husband. Talk to my husband once more, and I'll fuck you up. Yo, real talk. Whoever dude is, man, you married a rider. Like, I definitely respect this dude. Like, seriously, I wish I had a woman like this, yo. Not saying that I need my woman to stand up for me, but yo. I would kind of expect my woman to do the same thing. Also, let me say, man, this whole story reeks of privilege. It reeks of privilege. First, courtside seats. Not wearing a mask. Just all the privilege in the world in this story. When asked about the incident after the game, James said he didn't believe the fans should have been kicked out of the game. Yo. Yeah, kick them out, bro. The referees did their job. Like, it never ceases to amaze me the level of privilege fans at pro sports games think they have. Like, under no other circumstances would, like, disrespecting somebody at their job be tolerated. Seriously, think about this. when in the streets would you see a guy like 6'8", damn near 300 pounds, and you feel like, yo, I can talk mad reckless to this guy? Never. Never. If you saw LeBron out there in the streets, man, you would be like, oh, you know, I'm going to think twice before I say something reckless. And, yo, that's real talk why I don't speak too reckless on the internet. Because, yo, some of my friends on Facebook, I've trained kickboxing in and jiu-jitsu and judo, and they can, like, fold my ass up, and I know that. So, like, I treat everybody like they train jiu-jitsu and judo and can fold my ass up. Like, I'm not backing down from a challenge, but I'm not, like, calling nobody out either. It's just a level of intelligence I've gained throughout the years, knowing that I have put hands on people and people have put hands on me. But y'all throw that common sense wisdom out the window when it comes to sports. Like, y'all talk mad reckless when you got security. Seriously. Like, yo, not condoning the incident, but that was like kind of the malice in the palace. Like, that was like the thing it showed. Like, if the athletes come in the stands and actually lay hands on you, it's not going to be competition. Like, yo, I'm not laughing. Okay, I am laughing at the situation. But, like, during the Malice in the Palace, like, yo, people were just, like, those NBA players just fanning people. Like, folks was just falling. Like, they were just hitting dudes and dudes just falling. Like, it was one hit of quitters everywhere, dog. Oh, man, it was hilarious, man. Steve Smith was, like, the champion. Steve Smith went in the crowd like, yo, I'm finna deal with all these suckers. This is what I've been waiting on. All right, continue with the story. Despite the mid-game interruption, James and the Lakers withstood and won the game 107-9. That's not news, bro. Everybody knew the Lakers was going to win that, Joe. I mean, the Atlanta's better this year, but dang, the Lakers good. Hey, man, this story was just funny, guys, to me. I'm not looking too much into this. I don't know why, like, everybody made this an issue. I think maybe the problematic thing is she wasn't wearing a mask, but real talk, that lady was fine as hell. Like, she's one of them old, I ain't gonna say old, but, like, older Krugers, man. She was, like, did up. She had her ponytail whipping back and forth. She was sassy with it. I'm gonna lie, that turned me on, bro. I'm in Japan, and the richy part of Japan is this place called Ginza. One day I was getting off work, and I had, like, a suit on. Nothing major, just, like, a work suit. And this fine giraffe. Giraffe is what I call tall women. But this fine giraffe came by, man. Hair flowing. Had like a mink coat on. Looking right. So she was walking past me, man. I was like, yeah, I'm going to give her a smile, a grin. So she walked by like, hello. And when she passed me, man, she looked at me, rolled her eyes, just flipped her hair on my ass. And I ain't going to lie. That turned me the hell on. I was like, ooh. I see. That's right. I'm not on your level. All the privilege. And that's what I got when I saw this video. I'm like, ooh, she's sassy with it. Ooh, just a funny story, man. I have no idea why they're letting like some fans in there. Well, I do know. They need the money. Yeah, they're trying to get some money in there. But yo, real talk, if you're going to be there around those athletes, wear your mask, man. Like, seriously, do that. That should have been a bigger story than her, like, bad mouth and LeBron. That happens all the time. But seriously, if you're going to be watching these sports, America, yo, think about the athlete. Put on your damn mask. And that's the Common Knowledge Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. DJ L. Spade. Yo, follow me on Instagram at DJ L. Spade. Same for Twitter. Watch my show on YouTube, Tokyo Stash and Spade. Also, listen to your boy music. Just search for DJ L. Spade on any music streaming site, and I greatly appreciate it. I'm out. Holler y'all soon.